to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And by the grace of God, we're going to pick up where we left off at in the message, How to Do Good Deeds. How to do good deeds, as we are preaching through Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, we are going to continue honoring God and Jesus Christ and remembering their servant, Dr. Billy Graham, with some of his sermons. This is the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Campaign Day 461. Since January the 20th, 2017, day 828, since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the previous meetings today. Thank you for what you have done through them and what you are doing. And we thank you for all of the other preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries who are serving you and proclaiming your gospel and teaching your holy word across the country and around the globe. Help us all to remain faithful and not get caught up in the river of fire of apostasy and falling away and quitting and not believing anymore. And Lord, help us to believe your holy word. Help us to believe it, so much so that we will do it, and we will share it with others. Lord, help us to be faithful until the end. And grant us your grace, your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel once again, so that lost souls would hear the gospel and be saved, and Christians would be revived. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ lifted up. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, after rebuking the Pharisees for their practices of seeking attention while praying in public. And by the way, this is the practice of many people, even in the church today, but especially outside of the church. everybody is engaged in the business of getting attention. Many of the things that you watch and think are so amazing on YouTube, keep your eyes focused, are all staged. Many of them, rather, are staged to get attention. Thousands of folk all around the world are right now, as I speak, have a camera in their hands or focused on them to get attention, doing silly things, jumping off of buildings, setting themselves on fire, seeing if they can eat a whole lot of cinnamon without dying, and all kinds of crazy things. It's in our sinful nature to seek attention to ourselves with no purpose whatsoever for the glory of God. Jesus tells us how we should go about the serious business of prayer. And the last place that we ought to seek attention is in the church. And the last thing we ought to seek attention to our lives about is prayer to God. That is a crime. It's beyond a sin, and it is foolishness. In verse 6 he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret." Someone once said, the secret of all failure is our failure in secret prayer, and that is so true. And that's what's wrong in most lives today, single lives, individual lives. No secret prayer. That's what's wrong, I guarantee you, in most Christian families today. No secret prayer, because, see, as hypocrites, we like to talk about prayer, but we don't like to pray. In most marriages today, the main problem is no secret prayer. No praying individually and no praying together. As a married couple, as a family, no praying together. And you wonder why your marriage is on the rocks and skidding off the cliff. You like to go and talk about your marriage. You like to go and tell people your problems in your marriage. You like to go to a counselor and say things you never say to each other at the house. And if you had done so, these problems would have been resolved a long time ago. Men share their frustrations about their wife with strangers that they won't share, don't have the guts to share with their wives to their faces. Then women begin to tell stories to counselors that the man has never heard before, on how she feels this way and that way. You reveal secrets about your family that really nobody else should know about, but you refuse to pray together. Or you refuse to pray alone. I almost got that Billy Graham accent there for some reason. I'm not even preaching one of his messages now. Almost. Alone. There you go. Anyway, our primary place of prayer ought to be a place of privacy. If you will, a place of reclusion. We have some introverts in the church, and it's okay to be introverted, but you don't pray when you get in the closet. You are a recluse all alone by yourself. You are a hermit, but you don't pray. Being an introverted person or a recluse or a hermit is fine if you pray. You don't like to be around people. You don't want to, you're afraid to witness to somebody. You don't like to be in the social aspect of the church and have to talk and smile and grin. Well, at least by yourself in the closet, pray. That's got to be a part of your ministry, is to pray. Pray. You don't want to be out front? Good. Pray behind the scenes. Don't be what you're not. But don't go to your closet to be alone and away and hide away from people and you don't pray for them. It seems to me that's the least you can do. A place where we are free from the observation of men and women and are subject only to the sight and hearing of God, and a place where we are not disturbed. My mother gets up early in the morning to pray, even at her age, to get away from human beings. A while back, I caught her praying in the early one morning. Went down, knelt down, and I prayed with her. And thanked God for her praying for me. And prayed with her. Sometimes you have to get up early in the morning to pray first before you deal with people, excuse me. And if you have to deal with, if you are a Negro and you got to deal with Negroes, you better pray. And you better pray before you deal with white folks as well. They call them Caucasians. Whoever you got to deal with, the white man, the black man, the yellow man, the brown man, you better pray in your closet before you deal with them. If you have a meeting tomorrow, you should have been praying about it for the past 5 days. If you have an interview tomorrow, you should have been praying about that for the last at least 5 days, if not 30 days, if you knew about the interview. Pray about everything. Pray about meeting with people way before you meet with them, because I promise you God can and will show up and show out. But pray privately. One of the best places to pray I have found down through the years is in the car by yourself. There's a whole lot of us who have church in the car without the radio. We sing songs of Zion. We pray spontaneously, led by the Lord. Some of us shout, and tears begin to flow. We have a worship experience on our way to where we're going. I know I have a witness. I know there's some folks who are just like me on that. But that time is more beautiful when you have prayed in the closet first and you have prayed with your family. The car ought not to be your closet. It can be, but it should not be. You ought to pray at the house before you leave the house. and leave your family in order. And pray together before you leave your family, because this may be the last time you see your family, and it may be the last time your family sees you. Isaac went out into a field to pray. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. Glory, hallelujah. Peter went on to a housetop to pray. Glory, hallelujah. The idea, my beloved, the idea that Jesus Christ expresses is that we ought to be in a place where it is evident that the hypocritical praying of the Pharisees is not being done. Amen, somebody. By the way, if you don't pray alone, please don't pray with other people. I don't want to hear your prayers. I don't want to be with you. And you don't pray alone. You don't pray by yourself. You don't pray with your wife. You don't pray with your children. I said it before and I'll say it again. The only reason why my wife and I are together after 30 years of marriage, we've never been divorced, and we have 7 children. 3 of them are graduating this week. The first one is graduating for the 4th time. Second one is graduating for the 2nd time. The third one is graduating for the third time. Thank God. Not only have we survived as a family, we have thrived as Christians and doing God's work. Has it been easy? No. Has it been pretty? No. Is it always a mountaintop experiences and wonderful? No. And if you're really praying, you're not going to have happy days every day. But you can stay together. You can be faithful. You can work together and get down into the trenches serving God. And it's not always pretty, but God will see you through and get you through, amen, somebody, through prayer. And I assure you, if you don't pray, particularly in this day and time, there might have been a time, day and time, where you didn't pray and your marriage could stay together and your family could do halfway decent, but not today. I know you can't do that today. Somebody got to be praying. Somebody got to be in the closet. Thank God for these mothers. On Mother's Day, we give God the glory, praise, and honor. On Mother's Day, before I woke up this morning, my 2 oldest children who are away, and 2 of them are graduating this week, the one for the 4th time, the other one for the 3rd time, a 2nd time, before I woke up this morning, they texted me and wished me a happy Mother's Day. My wife can't stand it, but they are just remembering all that I had to do to be the father and the mother to get these children to where they are today. And they didn't have to do that. I didn't make them do that. I was surprised when they did it. But they wish me a happy Mother's Day. And we wish all godly mothers a happy Mother's Day. Thank God for praying mothers. Thank God for the praying grandmothers. Thank God for the praying great-grandmothers who have prayed for us. And because of their prayers, we're doing great things by the grace of God. Amen, somebody. I think about the prayers of my great-grandmother, Mother Breedlove. That's her last name. See, back in the day, you called your grandmother by her last name, Jack. And it had to have some kind of prefix. You can best believe that. You better say grandmother, grandmama, mama, mother, mommy, mimi, or something. You had to come with it. Now you would not call them Gladys and all that. It had to be mother, mommy, mother, grandmama, great-grand, or something. You got to put a prefix on it back in the day. And when we got women today, bless their little hearts, trying to be as hip and trying to be like their grandchildren. And sitting at the counter talking about, isn't he cute? No. Like for her, not for the daughters or the granddaughters. Are you kidding me? We got grandmothers. The children don't even know that. People don't know if she's a grandmother or not. Back in the day, you knew who was a grandmother. They were praying. They had a big old Bible on the center table that you couldn't play with. If you wanted to read it, you could read it. But you better not touch it if you wanted to play. Big old Bible, bigger than this, almost bigger than this pulpit. In every grandmother's house, they had a big Bible. The old King James Version. So when I tell you to turn your Bible, and I say turn into your grandmother's Bible, I'm talking about the old King James. The Authorized Version. With the thous and these. And your great-grandmother and your grandmother and your good mother taught you how to pray the Lord's Prayer. If you didn't learn anything else, you learned the Lord's Prayer. And so as not to embarrass them, if you didn't learn any verses for the play, church play, you learned these words. Jesus wept. Now, honey, child, you better learn that. You better say that now. If you don't have nothing else to say, say this for grandmommy now. Jesus wept. It could be an Easter play. You don't know your verse, just say Jesus wept. The good grandmothers, the good mothers, the great grandmothers, we give God the praise and the honor for these great grandmothers and grandmothers and mothers and aunties who loved their children and loved their grandchildren. I know we as conservatives, Bible-believing Christian, we don't like what Hillary said some years ago, that is Hillary Clinton, that it takes a village to raise a child, which is an old African proverb. But the truth is, I saw the village raise children back in the day. Oh, yes. Your grandmother will whip your tail and then say those horrifying words. And I'm going to tell your daddy and your mama. Because that means you're going to get another tail whipping. Back in those days, the auntie can whip your tail and put a stop to some foolishness up in the main yard. She'll whip her children and you too. And dare you to cry. And said, and I'm going to tell your father, I'm going to tell your mother. Because that's going to be another whipping. Thank God for the mothers, the praying mothers, who God taught without reading a book, who God taught without going to Dallas Theological Seminary how to raise children. With some sense. Amen, somebody. Oh, yes. The grandmothers who hear you say something that you should not have said in her house while she's still peeling peas, backhand you and keep on going. What? You'll never say that in her house again, I guarantee you. Backhand you and won't even look at you. Bam! What? These are the old-fashioned grandmothers and mothers. I don't know what newfangled kind of mothers we have today. These little detached mothers in their skinny jeans and their yoga pants. and the children, the little children, they don't hold a hand. I don't know what kind of philosophy they. Sometimes I'm horrified to see these young mothers trying to be cute out here. Got three little children walking behind them, and they expect the little children just to follow them and so forth and so on. And they don't do it. Somebody said back in the day, mommy would grab your hand when you're walking across the street. Mommy would hold your hand and have one in a stroller, one on their back and one holding hands, holding on to the stroller or something. But we got these little mothers today, and like they don't want to be bothered with the children. They going on and licking the ice cream cone and got three little children straggling behind them, wandering off into the street and going here and there. And listen to me very carefully. I've had to save the life of some little children with these little modern-day mothers today. Don't you get mad with me. I've had to save the life. And then the little mothers come, oh, thank you so much. You know how these children are? No, I know how you are. You're not paying attention. You're not praying. You're not being sober-minded. You act like you're over there talking on your phone, and your child just yesterday, sad to say, I hate to say it, so preoccupied trying to take a selfie, this mother dropped her baby three stories, and the baby died. She was so horrified that she dropped that baby. She didn't even want to look down because she didn't want to see the splatter of blood. Preoccupied with cell phones. Preoccupied with trying to get the hookup. Yeah, here's what, baby, mother, child, as the old lady said, honey, child, let me tell you something. You better get hooked up with this baby. And you need to raise this baby. And you need to leave Bo Peep alone, because that's why you got this baby, by yourself. And if you keep on wearing these skinny jeans and these yoga pants with no panties on, you're going to have another baby. And then you're going to have two with no father, no daddy. Stop being, see, back on the porch at Timmy White's house on Hattie. I said, girl, stop being so fast. There's always an Aunt Hattie in the family. Aunt Hattie come out on the porch with a cigarette in one hand and just her brassiere on and get on your case and dare you to look at her strange. Dare you. What are you doing? Get your behind out here. Stop being so fast. Go on back over to your mother's house. Before you fool around here and get pregnant. She'll tell you just like that. And puff that cigarette. We need some old-fashioned mothers who know how to take care of children, who put the children first, and then, if they're single, put the children first and trust God for the right man to come along and show some decency and respect in front of your children. I have an aunt. She's my favorite aunt. She's a bad lady. Tall, model-like, beautiful. Had a bad husband who didn't turn out right, didn't do right. She had to get rid of him. She raised five wonderful boys by herself. And let me tell you something. Bless her heart. She never in her life brought some old stinking man in there over those boys. Even though the husband that she had was not doing what he should have done. She never did it. Back in the day, we're talking about women who had some self-respect and some decency and had concern and love for their children, that they would not bring Tom, Dick, and Harry up in the house with their boys so that they could be molested and mistreated. No, no, no. That never happened, buddy. They didn't play that. Back in the day. Oh, but today, we got thousands of women who act like they don't have any sense whatsoever. Silly-minded women. Silly-minded mothers. You say, well, preacher, I'll never listen to you again. That's fine. I got you today. You let every little Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Billy come into the house over your girls. See you in the bed with people, that's men that's not their father. And you think that's going to turn out all right? You think you're going to be able to tell them something when they're 14 and want to have Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Billy, and Jabubu in the house while you're gone? Because they're going to have them in the house. Because you had them in the house. Don't you get mad with me. You're not going to hear this from the local, your local pastor. Okay? They're not going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. That is not going to turn out well for you, my friend. Because she's going to pop her hip and pop her head in the other direction and say, well, you did it, mommy. In fact, mommy, that's why I'm here. Where's my daddy? Get out of here with that mess, mother. There's a cry, outcry today for better men. Men who don't say anything about your being attracted to you, and men who, you know, don't do antics to get next to you and so forth. And you know what? The outcry is justified. We do need better men, but we also need better women who don't act like whores and constantly tempting men and seducing men. Want the attention, but don't want the attention. You're schizophrenic. You dress up for the attention, but you don't want anybody to say anything to you. Why are you dressing like that? Why you got your butt popping out in the public like that with your two little children and your little midriff showing and your breasts all out tight? If you don't want attention, you want your children to be attracted to you? What's going on? Are you attracted to yourself? You're a very sick person. Who are you trying? What are you doing? On Mother's Day, start being a mother. Stop carrying yourself like a prostitute and a whore and a slut. You say, well, that's not politically correct. I don't give a flip. That's why you got two or three children and you don't know where the father is. That's why you can't finish your degree. That's why you can't get a better job. It goes both ways, baby. I can assure you, you keep on dressing like that, men gonna keep on trying to get next to you and get with you. It's in our DNA, even in the church. The man may come to church with his mind on God. He sees all this jelly popping in front of him, and the devil says, hey, why don't you, you know you want to get with that, don't you? His wife's standing right beside him. You don't put something in his mind that he was not even thinking about. Most of the men in church today, they're trying to do the right thing. At least 80%. But here you got jelly popping on both sides, and at the top as well, and talking about, hello, Deacon so-and-so, how are you doing today? And popping and twisting all this, his mind be gone from God onto all the jelly that's popping. You say, preacher, I know. That's why you are in trouble right now. And then you get tied up with soul ties, as they call it, and tied up in knots because you'd have messed up with somebody and you're guilty and you don't have any peace from God and you never will get it until you confess it and repent of it and stop it. Don't mess his life up. Don't mess him up with his wife. And the whole thing is a snowball going down the hill very fast to hell. And then, ladies and gentlemen, some people may think they are missing out by carrying their requests to God in secret times of prayer. They are not. Jesus says that we have a heavenly Father who sees in secret. Nothing escapes the eyes of God. He knows who his faithful servants are, and he knows who is just praying to be seen. You're wasting your time. Listen to me very carefully. If you're praying to be seen, you're wasting everybody's time. If you're praying to be seen and praised by men, and by the way, if anybody ever tells you, Deacon Sons, man, that was a beautiful prayer. Let me tell you something. That prayer wasn't worth a flip. I just love to hear a pastor pray. That your praying means nothing. That should never be said about a prayer to you. And please don't say thank you. Thank you. I know I can show pray, can't I? No, you know, you can't. You haven't done anything but talking to yourself, man, and talking to these other people. No, it's not like that. Stop it. Jonathan Edwards said, if you live in neglect of secret prayer, you show goodwill to neglect all the worship of God. See, this is why I said some time ago that God may not want to hear all of your praise and stuff on Sunday, and celebration and prayer on Sunday, if you don't pray to him every day in private from Monday through Saturday. He might not want to hear it. I'm not God. I'm just saying. It's very popular online. You can get the quote. But this dear brother continued, he that prays only when he prays with others would not pray at all were it not that the eyes of others are upon him. He that will not pray where none but God seeth him manifestly doeth not pray at all out of respect to God or regard to his all-seeing eye, and therefore doeth in effect cast off all prayer. And he that casts off prayer in effect casts off all the worship of God, of which prayer is the principal duty. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the place of prayer which Jesus speaks of is a closet or inner chamber. The inner chamber was, for the Jews, the most private place in the home. It was the place where the owner of the house retired for the night. And this is where we get praying at night, kneeling down before your bed and praying and so forth in the bedroom. Now, by the way, most of us today have walk-in closets. A walk-in closet is a closet that you can go inside. Some of us have closets that are bigger than most bedrooms, and that can surely be a prayer closet. Then you got the closet, the regular closet, where you stand outside of it and you put your stuff in it. We're not talking about that kind of closet. A place where you got some space to kneel, to sit down, to lay down if necessary, whatever you need to do. Rarely did anyone go into the inner chamber but the one to whom the chamber belonged. You may take the translation of a closet literally and actually make the closet in your bedroom your place of private prayer, but just make sure you have some ventilation up in there, lest you don't come out of the closet. Put a bell on, like the priest did, so everybody can hear that some bells going on in there, so that you don't die in that closet that does not have ventilation, some air. Rarely do you have a closet with a window for somebody could look in. You want to get into a place where nobody can see you and you can't see them. But this closet can be a bedroom, an office, the so-called den in your home, any place where you can get alone with God and be uninterrupted in your communion with Him. You may have to go out in the backyard to be alone. Some people go out into the woods. I wouldn't recommend that unless you open your eyes and you see a wolf salivating. Kind of like the crazy family who went on a safari with their children, and there's signs all over the place, stay in your car, stay in your car, stay in your car. This is a wilderness. Wild animals out here, they have not been trained. They don't interact with human beings. They eat human beings. Signs all over the place. Well, but these dear white folks, because black folks would not have done it. They wouldn't even been in the safari in the first place. These dear white folks who love nature and love the animals got out with their babies. And it is by the grace of God, listen to me very carefully, by the grace of God, these people are alive. And the only reason why they're alive, somehow that woman was not scared, or at least she did not act like she was scared, and that human authority over that cougar or whatever it was, leopard, but the husband was scared as all get out. He was doing that little scared skip and hop run thing, trying to be manly, but left his wife and his baby. Listen to me. Left his wife and his baby in range of that leopard. Didn't stand between them at all. I know he got an earful. When he got in the car, and the cougar, whatever it was, leopard was coming after him. Because he was scared, and the animals can detect this. The mother was not scared with the baby in her hand, but the father was skipping, hopping, and running. Skipping, hopping, and left the mother out there to be eaten. I don't know what kind of relationship they have, but I assure you, it's not a good one. Because he made the decision, if somebody got to die, anybody going to be eaten alive, it's going to be her. And unfortunately, my baby. It was sad. It was a frightening scene. One of the most frightening scenes I've ever seen in my life. They were coming after them. My point is, you might not want to go pray in the wilderness. You who love nature so much. Lest a bear sit beside you and start praying with you until you finish praying. He'll be saying grace. Oh, my soul. The grizzly bear be saying grace. Yeah, you finish? Okay, let's get down with it.
No. No, a real closet, man. A real closet in the house. Okay? So, beloved, when was the last time you spent time alone in your prayer closet? When it was just you and God alone. When was the last time you shut out the world and shut yourself in with the Heavenly Father so that you could talk to Him unhindered? Dr. David Jeremiah said, "It is impossible for us to do or to be anything that God wants us to do or be apart." Listen carefully, apart from spending time in the prayer closet with God. Amen, somebody. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took time out of His busy schedule to pray to God in private, certainly we ought to follow His example. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help all of us to understand that if we don't pray privately, there's no need for us to pray publicly. We would be playing the hypocrite, the phony, and the fake. And Lord, we pray that all of us who are true blue Christians already pray privately. Pray without ceasing, without being prompted, without being told to do so, led by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to pray privately for the rest of our lives. Help us to pray without ceasing. Whether we pray with somebody else at times, but to make sure we pray privately and individually. And I believe that we can count praying with our family as a private prayer as well. And Lord, we pray that you would hear and answer our prayers as you've done so many times, millions of times out of your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, help us to be a praying people, particularly in times like these. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen. Now, beloved, before I leave you, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can get saved today from sin and hell and to heaven and have everlasting life with God and with Jesus Christ by putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. First, you must understand that you must accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. Always, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. I believe that hell is overflowing and exploding over in Hawaii right now. The Bible talks about a lake of fire. There's no such thing on earth. So this comes from under the earth, where I believe hell is right now. The Bible says hell expands itself. I believe hell expands itself to let more people in who refuse to trust Christ as Savior. Everybody who does not trust Christ as Savior will go to the lake of fire. So if you didn't believe in something called the lake of fire before, believe it now, because you can see it on CNN today. So if you don't want to go to hell, and you shouldn't want to go to hell, because hell is a terrible place, and it will be forever. It is bad news. But I have some good news for you today. You can avoid going to hell, and you can go to heaven. Hell is hot, and heaven is cool in every sense of the word. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you and me because we're still in this world, "that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is in hell, "but have everlasting life." And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he suffered for you, he shed his blood for you, and he died on the cross as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He was buried because he was truly dead, and he rose again from the dead on the third day. And all you have to believe in your heart is that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul. Be willing to repent of your sins past. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to heaven. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Follow after me, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I know that I have broken your Ten Commandments, which is a very serious matter. I have lied before. I have stolen from others before. I have lusted after people and things that don't belong to me. I am guilty, and I know I deserve hell. Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon my soul, and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul, and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and help me to follow you, Lord Jesus, into the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in your life. And I mean that. Nothing will change your life like trusting Christ as Savior, and him being your Savior. Nothing. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails, and let us know.
We have some free material that we want to send you. And we have done this for many, many people down through the years. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. Is our prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.